right. Welcome to our services this morning. We're glad that you were able to join us. And Jason, would you open with a prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for another Sunday morning you brought us to. Thank you for those who came out, who found it important enough to come to church on Sunday morning. Thank you for the fellowship that we can have one with another. And we thank you for your word and your Son, most of all, who made all of this possible and important. And we thank you for that. We just pray that you bless this day. We pray for the folks that we know and the folks down in Florida that are bracing for a storm. We just pray that you watch over them and to protect them through this. Help them to rely on you for their strength through the time and in the rebuilding process that will follow with whatever destruction is caused. And we pray for those who are in the islands that have already been hit. And we just pray you watch over everyone there this morning. And we pray you bless our service today. And bless Brother Hitchens and the things you have for him to bring to us today in message and also in song. And we'll just pray and thank you for everything you'll do today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Just a couple of important announcements that I need to make sure to mention this morning. First of all, this will be the final time for us to write a little note to thank Brother Renzi for his work here. That's going to be sent out later today. So make sure you stop by before you leave today, and if you haven't done so already, and write a little note in the card there on the organ, okay? So just make sure to do that. And then also about our offerings, there's been a change. Most of us know about it already. But there are three boxes back there. There's the main offering box. The blue box is for our special speaker, in this case, Brother Hitchens. And then there's the other box back there for the track depot for the conversion center. We have special offerings for Pastor Reddy or for Gina Fry, who will be here next week. If you want to make a gift to them, put it in one of the envelopes back there, mark it for who it's for, and put it in the main box. Okay, so let's make sure that we do that. So those are the main announcements I have this morning. As Jason has already said in his prayer, we want to say welcome to the Hitchens. We're glad to have you here this morning. And it's been too long. And that's how it is, I think, every time you come. It's like, wow, it's been too long since you were here last time. But we're glad that you're here, and we trust that we'll be a blessing to you as you will be to us. All right, let's take our books again and turn to number 22 in the one-on-one book. 22, Never Alone.
I'm
is I'm just going to mention that we're going to be doing Ephesians 6, 17, and 18 again this week, okay? We're out of time, so we'll be going over that this morning in this service, but just make sure you keep working on that for this week. All right, and we do have two birthdays. One passed already, and the other one is not here this morning. We'll try to get Brother Dave Conklin next time. Okay, he probably had to work this morning or something.
Vacation,
okay. Anyway, we'll have to try to get them when they get back. And we missed Johan's first birthday last week. So let's sing happy birthday to him.
Good to see everyone here today. Good to be in the house of God. Beautiful Lord's Day that we have today. And
amen.
Trust this song will be a blessing. A country where no twilight shadows deep. Unending days where night will never be. A city where no storm clouds ever gather. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be? Numbers, but he must have been because he wrote a whole book about them. So, Numbers chapter number 32. It's good to be here, Ray Street Baptist Church. We pray for you every day that the Lord will send you the pastor that he wants in this place. We, of course, at our church in Elkton, Maryland, had actually been without a pastor for about 10 months. Our former pastor, who was there about a year, had been a missionary in Nova Scotia for 15 years. And last August, he went back to Nova Scotia to preach in a camp meeting. And while he was there, he found out that the church he had up there... I'm sorry. Oh, no, I don't. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. All right. So anyhow, he had gone back to Nova Scotia to preach in a camp meeting. And he said while he was there, it just seemed like the Lord dealt with his heart about going back there. And so he came back and resigned. And just shocked everybody because he'd been just a perfect fit for us and a great blessing, great preacher. So anyhow, he left at the end of October last year. So we've been without a pastor since that time. And so the... let's get this out of your way. Okay. So anyhow, the deacons had asked me if I would preach on Sunday morning and evening just for sake of continuity because we had been bringing in somebody different about every week. And they said, well, for sake of continuity, you know, would you do that? So that's what I've been doing the last several months. And but anyhow, I was also on our pulpit committee. And I think we went through about 80 resumes. And we actually never did bring anybody in to candidate. We had two or three we had thought about bringing in. But in the meantime, we'd been keeping up correspondence with our former pastor, Brother Grooms, up in Nova Scotia. So anyhow, it just seemed like things up there were not working out for him. It looked like the door was closing for him up there. And so he sent us an email. And he said, could I send in a resume? Yes, you can. So he did. And we took a vote. It was 100% that he'd come back. And so he came back. He is there now. And we're thrilled. He is just such a great blessing to us. So the Lord knows all about it. I don't understand it all. He said, it just seemed like I tried to open a door that God had closed. That's what he said. And so the Lord made it very clear that he wasn't supposed to be up there. And so he felt the leading to come back and be our pastor. So anyhow, we're glad he's back, and we appreciate him. Need to turn this off. Well, There we go. So anyhow, it's good to be here at Ray Street Baptist Church. So we do pray for you. Pray the Lord will give direction, send the right man that he wants here in this place. One of the things we found out is that there are a lot more churches looking for pastors than there are pastors looking for churches. There are a lot of churches without pastors. There are a lot of preachers around. But a pastor and a preacher are two different things. So you need the right man for this place. So we're praying that God will give direction that way. Numbers chapter number 32. Let's read. It says, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. When they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, behold, the place is a place for cattle. Children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth, and Dibon, and Jazer, and Nimrah, and Heshbon, Eliah, and Shebam, Nebo, and Baon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said to the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? Wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over the land which the Lord hath given them. Skip down to verse number 16. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle, cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them into their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side of Jordan eastward. Let's bow for further word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege we have to be here today in the house of God. Thank you for this day that you've given us, the day you made. Lord, we'll rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, thank you for the songs. It's been a blessing to our hearts for the fellowship we've had thus far. And again, we do pray for all those folks that are in harm's way in Florida from the storm. Lord, for your protection over them. Also, the folks recovering in Texas and Louisiana. Lord, we just commit them into your faithful hands at this time. And now we pray that as we look into your word, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Pray the Holy Spirit to have his way in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' wonderful name for sake, we ask it. Amen. In the passage, the Israelites have come up on the east side of the Jordan River. And they haven't crossed over into the promised land yet. But they're on the east side of the river. And two tribes, Reuben and Gad, and actually half of the tribe of Manasseh, approach Moses. And they said, this land here, and it's called Gilead, where they were. This land is a land that's good for cattle. It's good grazing land. We've got cattle. We've got herds. We want to settle here. Well, Moses got very upset about that. He said, you're going to discourage your brethren because your brethren have to go over the Jordan River into Canaan and fight battles in Canaan, and you're going to sit here? You're going to discourage your brethren by doing that. And so the two and a half tribes, Reuben and Gad, half tribe of Manasseh, came up with this. They said, here's what we'll do. We'll send our armies over into Canaan along with everybody else, and we'll help subjugate the land. And once that's done, we'll come back and dwell here in Gilead, build our cities here. This is where we'll stay. Well, that was agreeable to Moses. Now, this was not God's perfect will, was it? God's perfect will was Canaan, promised land, on the west side of the Jordan River. That's where God wanted them. So in reality, they're settling for less than the best, aren't they? That's the thing the devil always tries to get us to do, is settle for less than the best. Like someone has said, that the better thing is the enemy of the best. And, you know, the devil always wants to get folks to settle. Well, that's basically what they did. But this was agreeable to Moses. You know, if you'll send your fighting men over, help us subjugate the land, you can come back and dwell here. Now, interesting to note, these 2.5 tribes were the first ones to go into idolatry. Interesting. They're God's people. They're redeemed, but they were the first ones to go into idolatry. Well, skip over now, if you will, to Joshua. Look at the book of Joshua in chapter number 22. Joshua number 22. The land has been conquered at this point. It took them 7 years to do that. 7 years to conquer the land of Canaan, okay? So look at verse 1 of Joshua 22. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh and said to them, "You have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and you have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren as he promised them. Therefore now return ye and get you unto your tents and into the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Now to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession in Bashan, but unto the other half thereof gave Joshua among their brethren on this side Jordan westward. And when Joshua sent them away also into their tents, then he blessed them. And he spake unto them, saying, "Return with much riches into your tents, very much cattle, with silver, with gold, with brass, with iron, very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren." Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go into the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And when they came into the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, "Behold, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan, at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them." So I want to deal this morning with about misunderstandings among brethren. You get the situation here. The land has now been conquered. Reuben and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh fulfilled their part of the agreement. You know, they had sent their armies into Canaan to help their brethren conquer the land. Now the land's conquered. Now they're going back home to take their possession in Gilead, which is on the east side of the Jordan River. Okay? So when they get down to the Jordan River, it says they build an altar down there, a great altar, it says. And when the children of Israel heard about that altar, heard say, interesting language, children of Israel heard say, when they heard about it, it says the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war. They're ready to go to war. Because what do they think that altar is for? Idol worship is what they're thinking. Why would these people be building an altar, you know, down by the Jordan River other than for idol worship? Well, we find out later that's not what it was for. In fact, what they say later on, they say they built this so that it was a reminder to future generations that they're all Israelites. We're all brethren. That's what the altar was for. But notice this misunderstanding arises, and the rest of the Israelites are ready to go to war over this. Now, misunderstandings among brethren. Do misunderstandings arise? Yes, they do. misunderstandings will always arise until we are glorified. Just mark it down. Because we don't have any wings sprouting, do we? We're not glorified yet. We've got an old sinful nature that we drag around with us every single day. And doesn't make any difference how long you've been saved. You've got one, right? And I got one too. And just mark it down. There will always be misunderstandings that will arise. And they will arise among the most spiritual people. Just because somebody's been saved for a long time and just because they're a spiritual person doesn't mean there can't be a misunderstanding. Good example of this, Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. They had taken John Mark with them on their first missionary journey, remember? Somewhere along the way, John Mark quit and went home. Now, we're not given the details as to why he quit. But evidently, Paul was not very happy about it, which tells me, you know, that there was something not right about it. It wasn't the idea that he had an emergency arise, family emergency or, you know, or something like that, but it was something else. And he went home. He quit. So now Paul and Barnabas are getting ready to go on their second missionary journey. And so they're making plans for this. And Barnabas says, let's take John Mark with us. And Paul said, nothing doing. We're not taking him. And if you read the passage there in the book of Acts, it says the contention was sharp between them. Now look, these are spiritual leaders. Paul is the apostle to the Gentile world, right? He's the writer of a good many of the New Testament epistles. Barnabas is called the son of consolation. He's really the one that took Paul under his wing, if you remember. Well, after Saul, which was, you know, his name, Saul of Tarsus, after he got converted, everybody was afraid of him because they remembered, you know, his background. He'd arrested Christians, put them in prison. And so nobody wanted to touch him. But Barnabas came alongside and took him under his wing, brought him to Jerusalem. Barnabas is called the son of consolation. But anyhow, it said there was contention between them, so much so that they split up, went two different directions. I'm going to say that's where the First Baptist Church started. Have you ever heard that or not? No, that's not so. But here's the point. Misunderstandings will arise between the most spiritual people. I can see Paul's argument. But Barnabas' argument was, let's give him another chance. Now, you know, some folks say, well, Paul had to be right because you never hear about Barnabas anymore. Well, I can see right and I can see wrong on both sides. But you do remember that later Paul said, send John Mark. He's profitable to me for the ministry. Well, had not Barnabas taken him under his wing, that might not have happened. So, but anyhow, there was this misunderstanding that arose. And look, if it could happen between Paul and Barnabas, it can happen between any of us, right? Most of the time, misunderstandings arise over something trivial. Most of the time. Not all the time. I know of churches that split down the middle over buying a lawnmower. Really? Or buying carpet for the church. Folks couldn't agree and there was a split. I think most of the time that our misunderstandings can be prevented if we'll just let the Lord take control and be patient. We are under obligation to avoid misunderstandings as much as possible. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I'm not saying you can always avoid these things. I don't think that's possible, but I think we're under obligation to try. Here's Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Notice this now, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of love. What's that mean? It means you got to work at it. It means you got to work at keeping unity. Now, if we're going to have unity, everybody can't have their way, can they? Now, you know, by nature, we are selfish people. By nature. Me, myself, and I. But when the Lord saves us, you know, he begins to deal with us to get us out of that so that I'm not so wrapped up in me, but I'm concerned about others. You know, remember hearing the secret of joy is in the spelling? J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and you, last, right? What I want is not so important. It's what God wants that's important. That's what's important, what he wants. But again, by nature, you know, we have that tendency to want to do it our way. You know, I want my way. And that creates problems, doesn't it? Misunderstandings. One of the things I noticed about the early church, and you noticed it too, as you read the book of Acts, notice that little word accord. They were in one accord. That's not a commercial for Honda either. No, they were in one accord. Well, how did that happen? It didn't happen by accident, did it? It did not happen by accident. That's because they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, by the way, what time do we stop here? 25 after. Oh, okay. Well, I got to hurry. One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Bible is oil. You ever notice that? Oil is a type of Holy Spirit. Oil has a lot of properties, and one of the things it does is cuts down friction. Cuts down friction, right? So if you run low on oil in your car, you're going to have problems. Keep it filled, right, where it's supposed to be with oil. Keeps down friction. The same thing is true with Christians. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, that keeps the friction down. Doesn't say there won't be problems. Doesn't say there won't be misunderstandings, but it'll keep them down to a minimum on it. Now, why do misunderstandings arise among brethren? Why is that? Number one, we don't have enough communication. We don't talk. Look, that happens in marriages, doesn't it? Folks don't talk. It happens in churches. Keep the lines of communication open. That happens in businesses. Well, I didn't get that memo. We don't have enough communication. Second thing, we don't always use good judgment in what we do. That was true about Reuben and Gad and half tribe of Manasseh. Now, their motive, you know, as I read, and you, I'm not going to take time to read this, but you read on through in this chapter in Joshua, you find out they had a good motive. Their motive for building that altar was so that future generations would know that they're all Israelites. We're all one big family. That's what the altar's for. not an altar to worship heathen gods. So they had a good motive, but didn't look right, did it? It didn't look right. And, you know, we're told to abstain from all appearance of evil, aren't we? What's it appear like? What's it look like? If it doesn't look right, not good, is it? Yesterday I was cleaning up the yard and out in front of our house. I think people wait till they get in front of our house to dump their beer cans out. I think they save them up and wait till they get in front of our house to dump them out. So I picked up a whole bunch of them yesterday and I put them in the bag. You know, I thought about, boy, if somebody finds those in my trash bag. Well, put that in the Lord's hands. We have a trash container at church that picks up all the trash, picks up ours as well as the church. So, but they had to be picked up. You say, well, it's crazy to think that way. I don't think it's crazy. People watch us. People are gauging Ray Street Baptist Church by you folks, aren't they? They're judging this church by you folks. Say, well, ought not to do that. Well, maybe not, but they do. They judge Maranatha Baptist Church, where I'm from, by our folks. And to abstain from all appearance of evil, if it doesn't look right, then we should stay away from it, shouldn't we? So even though the motive of these people was right here, they didn't abstain from the appearance of evil. And that brought on the problem. So sometimes we don't use good judgment, what we do. Then here's another one. We have old seeds of bitterness stored away in our hearts. Old seeds of bitterness. That person did me wrong years ago. I'll never forget that. You know, we need to learn to forgive and forget as much as possible. Remember Peter asked the Lord Jesus that question. If my brother sins against me seven times, should I forgive him? You know, when somebody sins against you the first time, it may not be so hard to forgive it. If that same person does it again, though, it's a little different situation, isn't it? And by the third time, that's a problem, isn't it? I think Peter was hoping the Lord would say, yeah, seven times, that's enough. But that's not what he said, is it? You remember what he said? I say unto thee, until 70 times seven. How many times is that? 490. You mean to tell me if somebody sins against me 490 times, I'm still supposed to forgive them? That's what the Lord said. By the way, how much has he forgiven us? Think about that. This past September the 5th, I was saved 52 years. How much has been forgiven in 52 years? A lot more than 490 times. In fact, I have to apply 1 John 1:9 just about every day. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're more spiritual than me, but I have to apply that about every day. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all of it. But old seeds of bitterness, something that happened years ago, and we don't let go of it, and then something else happens, and boy, that old seed of bitterness sprouts. Look, how do you think the rest of these Israelites felt about their brethren settling over in Gilead? I don't think they liked that too much. I mean, even though they did send their armies over and help them subjugate the land of Canaan, I still don't think that settled very well. Old seeds of bitterness. And then this, we're talking about why these misunderstandings arise. We rely on hearsay. See that verse in verse 11, the children of Israel heard say. Hearsay. Did you hear about so-and-so? Stories get passed along, maybe true, maybe not. But look, people's reputations are destroyed sometimes. Hearsay. When somebody tells me something, I want to make sure it's right and not just something that came off the internet. Say, well, if it was on the internet, it must be true, right? No. No. But we rely on hearsay, and as a result, misunderstandings come about. Look at this. Look at John chapter 21. John chapter number 21. Jesus has just informed Peter how he was going to die. In John 21 and verse 18, the Lord Jesus speaking to Peter here. Verily, verily, I say to thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down. He didn't want to be crucified like his Lord. That's tradition now, whether or not that's so. But this verse says Jesus is telling him how he's going to die. And then it says in verse 19, when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? In other words, Peter turns around and looks at John. Remember, Jesus had just told Peter how he's going to die. The death that you're going to die to glorify God. And Peter turns around and looks at John. And he said, well, what about this man? Is that not human nature? He just told him about him. Well, what about him? And in verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to thee? Follow me. In other words, Peter, it's none of your business what I do with him. Your business is to follow me, right? What I do with John is my business. But look at verse 23. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said, not unto him he shall not die. If I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to thee? Notice a rumor got started. You see it? This saying went abroad that John's not going to die. Jesus didn't say that. They misunderstood what he said. They only heard part of it. That's how things get started, right? Here's something else about misunderstandings. We're prone to believe the worst. We are prone to believe the worst, aren't we? We hear something, we have a tendency to think the worst about it. Has to be true. And then we're prone to act without having all the facts. You know, let's get the facts. Over the years, we've had to practice church discipline. You know, that's not a pleasant thing to do. Scriptural, though. But one thing for sure, when you do that, you better make sure you got all the facts. Because there's a lot involved, right? But sometimes we're prone to act without having all the facts. And then we don't pray about our response. Pray, you know, we're told to pray without ceasing, aren't we? Pray, that means we're to be in an attitude of prayer all the time. About everything. Every little detail. Sometimes we have a tendency to think that God's not concerned about those little details, but He is. And He wants us to pray about them, doesn't He? And we have not because what? We ask not. We don't pray about a response. We let the flesh take control. And I guarantee you the flesh will jump in. It's just waiting to jump in, isn't it? Every single day that we live, we have a choice to make. Who is going to run my life today? Is God going to run my life today, or am I going to run it? That choice God gives to us. It's our choice. And based on our choice, there's two different outcomes, right? If I surrender and let the Lord take control, then my life is going to be pleasing to Him. Something good will get accomplished. But if the old flesh takes control, I guarantee you nothing good is going to come of that, is it? Well, then here's the last thing. When misunderstandings arise, then we do damage to the work of God, don't we? It's the work of God that suffers. And, you know, the work of God is more important than any individual. The work of God is more important than any individual. It's not what I want. It's what God wants. That's what counts. And so anyhow, we're praying for you that God will give you the right man to be the pastor here at Ray Street Baptist Church. And let's endeavor, in the midst of it all, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Again, we got to work at that. It doesn't happen by accident. And it means I'm going to have to put aside my feelings, my desires. It's got to be what God wants. That's uppermost, isn't it? Oh, may the Lord add His blessing to His word. And let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank You for this time. Thank You for the opportunity we had to be here today. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the Holy Spirit who takes the word and applies it to our hearts. Pray that You'd bless now and just have Your will and way as we go in the morning service. And Lord, if there be any in our midst, during the morning service, who have never been saved, I pray today might be that wonderful day they would come to trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Then as Christians, do a work in our hearts. Lord, and for all You do, we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' matchless name, and for His sake we ask it. Amen.